The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
On to the regular Footy Prime podcast. Would have been really funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah. We probably would have been there ahead of Jimmy and Forrest, but that's a whole other thing. This is the broadcast, and I'm Amy Walsh. We have Shireen Salty Ahmed, who is here, and also Sigs Butler, your two faves, my two faves, and the broadcast. And Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada. So this is very exciting. We have sponsors. And we're going to have a short and sharp pod today, much like the tidy play in possession of our Canadian women's national team. See what I did there? In back-to-back wins for the first time since June in the FIFA series. So up next, our host, Brazil. And this is going to be a whole different ball of wax. Because they are dangerous going forward. Canada is going to have to be as organized as they have been out of possession. But this new look Canada, this stony ball emerging, guys, this is exciting. So I've been covering these games. I've been covering it quite closely. But I thought since it's a short pod, we would start with a broad thought on the performances so far. Let's start with you, Sigs.
I'm very pleased, obviously, coming off the She Believes and seeing some joy back in the game, as I think a lot of everybody that's been covering the Canadian women's national team has sort of seen that, a little bit of freshness, a little bit of hunger. I think that was Casey Stoney's word as well. Why are you Dubsy and not Dubs?
Oh, this is James Sherman.
Okay.
He's a human nickname factory. And so it's ever evolving and ever changing and based on, you know, his whims and his mood. So I quite like it because seems more affectionate somehow than Dubs. But I will answer to many things, including Dubsy and or Dubs.
Okay. Awesome. Sorry. I didn't mean to go on a tangent.
Okay. Shiny object.
But I overall, and I really, I know people are like, well, you know, we've only played Zambia and South Korea. So really, can we really tell what this Canadian national team is like? We will see on Saturday, obviously. It is Saturday, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yes.
The graphic on One Soccer versus Korea Republic said Sunday. It is indeed Saturday, 9:30 p.m. start.
Okay. I think it's really important to play different teams. I think it's really important to play players. And that's what we've seen. Obviously, the Heat has, in terms of substitutions and stuff, I think seen more than we would normally see.
Yeah.
But I think that's important, too. We need to see players. We need to see whether they have that fire in the belly. I use that expression a lot. Whether they want to be challenging for positions. This is, I think, a very, very open team for selection for the Women's World Cup. I think it's very open. I think there's so many players, and I know we'll talk about a few of them today. I think there's a few players that are really, really, you know, putting themselves to the cream of the crop right now in terms of selection. But I think there's a lot of people knocking on the door, and it's only a matter of time before they push some of the maybe mainstays out of the lineup.
Dare we say an expanding player pool?
Well, that was yes, Amy.
Sorry, have I accelerated us?
No, I think that's sort of what I'm getting at. And maybe I could have said it more concisely because since we're trying to have a short podcast today. But I think it shows that the player pool is capable and they're ready.
Shireen, what were your big takeaways from these first two matches and maybe even including your overarching thoughts from the She Believes?
First of all, a couple things. I believe with Cigna. I believe with Cigna. I agree with Cigna. I've elevated to I believe in Cigna. I believe with. Anyways,
this is like a religious experience.
She transcends everything. No, it was exciting to watch. And to be honest with you, I think that's a fair statement to make. It's I think it's been a minute since I felt excited in the sense of that palpable joy on the pitch. I'm really excited to see up front the movement, the creativity, which and the freedom with which those players are, the plays are being created in the middle of the park, which I think is good. And we expect to see, we know how Emma Regan is consistent. If there's anything that she is, she and Jesse Fleming are consistent. I was absolutely unsurprised and thrilled by Vanessa Gille coming back. I mean, again, it's this Kadisha Buchanan's return as well, which was also extremely exciting and for all the right reasons. Like, she has a natural swagger and a confidence on the pitch that emanates. And there's a lot of young players on the team. So having that experience is really quintessential. And it was really fun. Like, Canada is known for its back line, and we know this. Like, it's storied for that and the way that it manages. However, I'm pretty excited about the front, considering, like, you can take three players from this team and they're still not as old as I am, which is really, like, you could
you're
take
not that Annabelle old. Hall.
Yeah. No, seriously. Okay, well, maybe 2.5 players, and they're still, like what I'm saying is that is exciting for me. Could be jumping a little bit ahead, maybe, but that's okay. But seeing the youth and seeing that, and it takes a minute for them to warm up, except for Annabelle Chikwu, who gets a brace in her first appearance, which is pretty phenomenal. But there was a sense of nervousness, which is good, because I think nerves are a good thing. If you stop getting any kind of nerves before you step on the pitch, then, you know, what is that? Like, everybody, that nervous excitement is really important. But I think it was really fun. It was fun. And I'm glad we're here. Yes, there's arguments to be made that Zambia and South Korea are not the most difficult opponents. But look, yeah. And you asked about overarching. I thought Canada held really well against the United States during She Believes. Like, you know, I was expecting a very different scoreline, and we didn't see that. I'm not mad at Casey Stoney for putting Sabrina in that. And just this time in this FIFA series, I think it's important. I think all positions, especially leading up to a World Cup and qualifiers for the World Cup, have to be very, very competitive. And that's no exception. And I'm excited that, you know, there are some sure spots. Like, we're pretty sure Gilles and Buchanan are going to make the, you know, World Cup roster. But other than that, like, I like the fact that we're in the spot where people have to fight for the role. I think it's good for Canadian women's soccer.
Hockey. Before your first coffee, while the rest of the city's still hitting snooze, we're breaking down everything that happened last night.
Center, score!
The biggest moments, the key storyline, and the takes that actually matter.
Back for Kucherov, score!
Wake up and get your hockey fix. Fast, smart, and ready for your day with voices who live the game. Morning Hockey starts here. Weekday mornings on SiriusXM Morning Skate. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Click to SiriusXM.ca/Morning Skate.
Yeah, I think the way that they've turned the corner after, you know, the way that 2025 ended, where, like, there's no identity with this team. They're on this awful skid, almost an unprecedented one when you look at historically how successful the program's been. Sure, they've struggled at World Cups, but the medals at the Olympics, the culminating in the gold in Tokyo, but just a consistent top 10 FIFA-ranked team, right? That would maybe underperform versus top-tier opponents, but they had that swagger and they had that confidence and consistency versus other top-ranked opponents, and they just did not look like themselves. So the way that they've turned the corner is part of the return of Keish. And I love the word that you use, Shireen, that I talked about her swagger, her aura, her presence, imbuing a sense of confidence into the team and taking a little bit of the weight of the armband off of a Jesse Fleming so she felt more comfortable and more free. And Casey Stoney has talked about that too, but use the word emanates. And I just think it perfectly encapsulates what she does. It's just her mere presence in that back line, and there's still a little bit of rust, even though she's playing big minutes with Chelsea. She's part of a balanced squad, and Siggs, you talked about it being wide open. That's important because competition is right there, right? Nobody's guaranteed anything. Nobody's taking anything for granted. And I think you're seeing that every time this team plays, like, they had an authoritative performance where they dictated terms to South Korea, a player down. So it, again, yes, was South Korea passive and were they unthreatening? Did they produce a whole lot going forward? Probably not. But Canada sat compact in their shape and they were the aggressors. They were the protagonists on a day, again, can't overstate this, playing a player down for an hour.
Also, it's very impressive. I wanted to just add this on the match day minus one call against South Korea. Casey Stoney had, against Zambia. Casey had actually said that it's a bit challenging. And she said the rooms are challenging. And I asked a follow up question. So like the conditions in Brazil being 40 Celsius, you know, requiring hydration breaks, that's tough. It's arduous. And also the rooms are challenging, meaning some of them don't have big windows. The rooms are very small and not what they're accustomed to in terms of comfort for the players. So, but the silver lining is they're spending a lot of time in a group outside of their rooms bonding. Yeah. And that in-camp experience and, you know, no wilted strawberries here, friends.
Fuzzy.
Fuzzy. Was it fuzzy or wilted?
Yeah.
Did strawberries wilt?
I think they can do maybe like the green tops, but okay. I think as a general rule, they get fuzzy or moldy,
fuzzy.
Right?
So yeah. This fruit basket is looking pretty peachy.
All kinds of metaphors here. No, it's such a great point. But it should be noted, like the players who are missing due to little niggles or injuries are players that have played a significant role in the past and have been nailed on starters in the past, like an Adriana Leon, like an Ashley Lawrence, like a Jordan Heidema. So now if they get reintroduced in June, these won't be home games. The next home games will probably be in the October window, which is the penultimate one prior to World Cup and Olympic qualifications in November. Like, this is what this team needs, a shakeup. And Sigs, I'm going to put this to you, because what I noticed is Keish comes back. Shalina Zdorsky, who, when the roster was first announced, was on that injured list, but she's close. She gets called in with Courtnall being unavailable. Gabby Karlmus is out too. So some missing faces in that back line that we're used to seeing. But there's a balance in this squad of heady veterans and experience and also youthful upstarts who are pushing the standard day in and day out.
Yeah, and I think some of the more competitive, like, it's really competitive across all three lines too. Like, I was thinking about who would be my back line and who would be my midfield and who would be up front if I was making selection. And there's a lot of, I don't mean question marks in a negative way. I mean question marks as in like, wow, these people are neck and neck and I don't know who to pick. And it may come down to like someone's injured and not available on the day. But I was thinking about some of those unavailable players and how, like, we haven't seen Ashley Lawrence at her peak. The peak that she was at maybe a season ago or two seasons ago, we haven't seen her like that. And I'm watching, you know, I'm watching Janine back there. I'm watching Jade Rivera back there. I'm watching Sydney Collins back there. And I'm like, how is Ashley Lawrence going to crack that? Mm-hmm. And we would never have said that. We've never said that.
But that's a good problem to have. This is an excellent problem.
We need to have this problem.
This is a good problem.
That's why teams are getting ahead. It's people pushing each other. And we've talked about this on the broads before. It's like, if you do not have somebody like kicking at your heels, like, and challenging you at training and saying like, I'm coming for your position, like, then if it's too, and I don't mean to say that any of these players are cocky, but like, if you think you own this position, you don't. You need to be aware that there's somebody always on the back of your shoulder getting mm-hmm. ready to jump into your position. And I think we're seeing that in the midfield battle too, immensely. I was really, really, really impressed with Julia Grosso. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed with her. I think she has gone from like, people were like, whoa, why is Julia playing? Like, you know, where is Julia? But
like, I love how this is always like your contrarian voice.
My contrarian voice.
Gallery.
Whoa, what about Julia Grosso?
What about Julia?
And it's also the same voice I use for my husband and my cat, as you know.
That's your cat voice?
Julia Grosso was fantastic.
Yeah.
I know like the Zambia game, obviously there's a little bit more space and time in the midfield for her to kind of do her thing, but I just really, really was impressed with how she performed in both matches. And also like, that's a fight there with, you know, with Emma, with Jessie, with, you know, Like it's mm-hmm. it's Simi. Like
yeah. Yeah, we need to see more of Simi.
Simi to me was I would expect it a little bit more from her.
So my analysis,
and she's so young. She's young. We got to remember that, and we kind of forget that she's young because she's had a lot of success already. But
needs more regular minutes at club, and I think
for me, this was translating to a confidence piece. I felt that Grosso fell into her stride and remembered who she was, and mm-hmm. I think that was pretty cool to watch, like in real time. But also, I agree with Simi. She needed to be big. Play a little bit more big and like
take up space
and then we saw that with Chukwu
or that sitter
exactly, and you saw the confidence piece. It's not going to come overnight, but like at this point I consider Simi to be kind of like a mainstay part of the framing of our roster, an international roster, and I'm like, you are so good, you have to play, and Casey has a lot of confidence in Simi, and she said that, so like play there. And you know what I like about this, Sig? You mentioned fire in your belly. We like to see fire under the ass too.
Well, she had it when she had the illness last window versus the US. She had the fire under the ass when she departed and went straight down the tunnel.
Oh, oh that.
Yeah.
Oh,
I broadcast brought to you by Imodium.
I know.
Pepto-Bismol brings you there.
Upset moment of stomach match. Diarrhea.
Wow.
Yeah, but to your point about Simi, I agree with you. She has the potential, but I think she has to showcase her abilities more consistently across a game. And even though she has the versatility and the physicality, her ability to drive space, be elusive between the lines, I think she has to tell Casey Stoney by way of her performances where she belongs on the pitch. Because right now, when she's deployed as a 10, we see her do some interesting things, find those spaces, pockets, turn and then drive space. She does that very effectively. When she's played in a deeper lying position in the midfield, she's not as convincing. So if she can build on performances and across different tournaments, across different games, show out and show well, then she'll make her mark. But right now, I think she remains kind of a little bit lukewarm or middling. And I wanted to go back, Shireen, to what you were saying about the team off the pitch, this lack of identity that dogged them, for those five games to end 2025. And then they've turned the corner. Part of it is definitely the on pitch, the way that they've looked. The emergence of Stoney Ball, we're really seeing patterns of play more fluent going forward. But it's the off the pitch and the team that looks so together, and convincing in their play, but like the identity is very much built on, you know, having challenging rooms. And wouldn't most restaurants and hotel chains love a Yelp review to say, not this was terrible, service was awful, like don't ever go here, but say the rooms are challenging. Like it's very, very interesting and well-chosen words by Casey Stoney.
I like your Stoney Ball. I like that little.
I'm not the first to coin it. I'm not sure where I heard it. It may have been AGR, Alex Gange Ruzic.
But I do.
In credit.
I do, and credit to Alex, but I also enjoy Casey Stoney Presser. I think she's cheeky. Like, I remember asking about the call on Vanessa Gilles late. I think it was an extra time, if I'm not mistaken. And it was a foul allegedly against Barbara Banda in the Zambia match. And it was late. And Vanessa's face is one of my favorite things when she's protesting. And it was a soft call. The adjudication had happened in the broadcast group chat. And we were all like, no, that was soft, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I asked Casey Stoney about that in the post-match presser. And she said, my face and Vanessa's the same. And so that was a terrible... That was more Emma Hayes accent than Casey Stoney. But so that was really funny that she said that. Like, I like her witty humor. I like her English quips. I think they're funny. But yeah, but on that, like, there's something happening with this team that's percolating, and I'm here for it. And I hope the delicious drip comes out just in time for the Women's World Cup.
Yeah, and coffee. For Signa, who has not had her coffee this morning.
Who has not been caffeinated.
So thoughts and prayers for Sigs. I just wanted to, I want to ask you guys one more question about the front line, especially because I loved the attacking trio, the trident that Casey Stoney deployed versus Korea Republic, which was from left to right was Lacasse, Vienne, and Smith. I thought it was, you know, great combination of profiles, but also just the way that they attacked the game. Going back to Julia Grosso, just real quick, we talked about her with Casey Stoney on our broadcast call, and she was saying playing in Chicago, they do a lot of work out of possession. So she has challenged Julia to work on the defensive side of her game, and that she acknowledges that it needs work in a way of duels, tackles, being closer to her opponent, being more robust defensively, because she said being a natural left footer when they don't have anybody across the back line, especially in that left fullback position, who's not naturally left footed, you need the angle. You need kind of to see the pitch with a natural left footer from deeper in the midfield. And she, to me, is a true box to box. So Julia Grosso, when she's playing her best football, I don't think there's anybody that can unseat her in the midfield. That is my opinion. But she has to be playing at the top of her game. And I think she still has the potential to take another step.
And, you know, because that's sort of been sort of the, you know, the part of her game that I think there's been a lot of criticism over is that defensive part of her game.
Yeah.
You know, if you challenge her to do that as she was, and actually I talked to her college coach, Ange Kelly, about that, Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, about challenging Julia to be a box to box midfielder. And she says she's absolutely like capable of that. She is that, but the defensive part, can't you, when you're deploying your midfield, say, okay, well, we need a more acute defensive midfielder in this position. But I get what you're saying about the left foot, the, you know, that side of the pitch, that you do need to have that coverage. But I think Julia, like, well, we'll see against a Brazil. Like, can you be that?
That's the big test on the docket.
That'll be a big test. But but so far, I think, you know, I would give her, I would say honestly A+ so far. I like some of those like balls that she's been playing through are
My goodness. Even in that first half versus Zambia, where we did look clunky, there was a lack of fluidity in the way that we were playing and not making the right decisions all the time, slowing down. We should have been speeding up and playing more direct and vice versa. But yeah, I think she did very well despite that. And DB Pridham also. She gets the assist on Nichelle Prince's first of two goals. So we've had three braces across two games, right? Yes. And despite the youth in the lineup, it's not Annabelle. Well, Annabelle Chukwu got a brace, but she doesn't wear braces. That's just where my brain went. Neither does Kaylee Hunter. They'd be the ages to have the braces on, right?
Yes, they would.
Talking about bagging braces and scoring more than one goal. But could be.
Tell me your mom without telling me your mom.
No, I know. It's on my mind here. It's sucking my bank account dry. But yeah, she's looked very, very bright. So quick thoughts from you both about that attacking trident that we saw start the game versus Korea Republic.
I think it was exciting. It was good to see. Well, at least Olivia Smith didn't come in till later. So that initial starting point, I thought was actually really exciting.
Shireen, she did start.
Okay. She came in second. Sorry. On the Zambia match. She came in later.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was talking about Korea.
Oh, Korea. Yes,
you're absolutely right. If we're talking about Zambia.
So for that particular match, I think it's really important that she have that. I think part of me feels like, or maybe it's just projection, I feel like sometimes she plays a little soft to start, just a little soft to avoid injury, because like we don't want her to get a knock and everything like that. But when she gets into that stride, I think that there's a danger there, and there's that excitement that I'm talking about. That's where it needs to happen. Like, we can be excited about like defenders, absolutely, and the way that they move in their strategy and their, like, you know, game IQ. But to see fluid passing and to see attacking in that way and seeing the generosity, like I saw a bit of generosity too, which was really cool to see, because like from the front, people want to score, right? People want to get that up.
And you need to have that mentality, right?
And I felt like DB was like, oh, I love that we're scoring, but I also need it to be me.
Yes. Otherwise, don't be a striker.
Don't be a striker. It's okay to be selfish, right? Yeah. And I don't know. I felt rejuvenated a little bit. Like, I really liked it. I liked it.
Siggy's?
Yeah. I mean, when Smith is on her game, I mean, the excitement, the explosiveness, the desire, like I want the ball and I want the ball at the back of the net. But I also think she provided a little bit of like the partnerships that she was creating up front also is important. Lacasse and Vienne though, together.
Mm-hmm. My God, did you see the slow motion of that highlight of Vienne's goal that went up on Instagram? I mean, it's just like theater and box office, and I don't know what that is. It's like slightly erotic even.
Whoa.
I enjoyed it. I consumed that content.
Okay.
You too, clearly, Dubs.
R-rated.
No.
Okay. Lacasse, the little like touch, the little touch, which she does often in games, but like sometimes it doesn't get quite, you know, executed the way it does.
Yeah, it doesn't come off, right?
It doesn't come off, but boy, it came off there. And like Vienne is just like, it's no nonsense striker skill. That's what it is. It's no nonsense. It's none of this. She's not there going 1v1 and being your exciting, I don't know who to compare to, but like just, you know, she's not. I'm going to show my age. It's not Marta going one-on-one against people back in the day, right? It's somebody that knows what she needs to do, takes the opportunity, and never misses. Like I would love to know what her strike on goal versus miss rate.
Big chances.
Yeah.
Her big chances version.
Yeah.
Well, she had a big, she could have had a brace.
Oh, she had
that other one with her. She scored with her left foot. She has that other one where she opens up, goes with the right. That should have been in the back of the net. And you expect her to put that away.
Mm. Absolutely. And I think she knew it as well. But I just love the no nonsense play up front. And I think it's a compliment to the other two players.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say I didn't like, I really liked DB. I really liked Chukwu. I think both of them obviously did a lot. Nichelle Prince.
Bryce.
Prince. Rising from the dead almost, right?
That
like
Prince, that Prince touch in the box that, oh, come on. Like that was glorious. It was again, another R-rated content.
like one touch, like sexy, beautiful
touch.
Yeah. Beautiful, sexy touch.
I think there's a lot of questions up front. I think there's a lot of questions in terms of who you're playing. I actually don't know who my starting three would be.
Which is fucking great.
Which is wonderful. Okay. Right. I would put Chukwu in. I would.
Interesting.
I would. Because I want her to have the confidence what you're talking about. Lacasse. I want Lacasse. My three. Lacasse. Definitely.
Start Annabelle in a nine?
In the nine. Lacasse. And then, dare I say, Vienne. Is that a bit crazy?
So you put Chukwu on, you don't put Smith as your starter?
I don't know.
Interesting, because I think when she's playing well,
when she
and
is,
you have other threats.
She comes across as tentative to me in the first couple minutes.
Yeah, when she comes in as a sub, but the way that she played versus Korea Republic, like
you think just
I
on
think
fire.
She has a transformative effect on this
I'm
team.
So worried she's going to get injured all
well,
the time.
Me too. Me too.
Like, I think that's my mental block is that I'm worried about injury. So then I'm like,
yeah, no, but durability has been a concern.
And yeah. And so I do love what you're talking about with Lacasse and Vienne, and that pairing is the creativity and the confidence. For me, it's a mental performance piece and they're really busting through. And like, look, this FIFA series is so important for that reason, because Canada is not only getting its shit together, but they're like performing in a way that we want and we expect. And they deserve as well.
Yes, I love that. Okay, we're going to end it there because we even went a little bit over what we said we would for a short and sharp pod. But I just wanted to add, Sigs, what you were saying about Vienne being no nonsense. Like for me, she is a classic old school center forward. Mm-hmm. And if she was a podcaster, she would be somebody who shoots you straight and doesn't mince words. Like she is direct to a fault. But you need that, right? You need that variety of profiles across the front line and the way that they combine together. And that's what we're starting to see more too, is that sustained possession in a final third, but then also some intricate play, some combination play, finally.
Yeah, combination play. And the other thing that I thought was a lot more threatening was the diagonal runs and the timing. The timing, although a little offside business going on, but the timing is there. And that's okay, because I think they're experimenting. And I think that was like hitting people on those diagonal runs, and you have people like Grosso and a Fleming and a that can like hit those players.
Yeah, but going direct when they
come. Sorry, not to, you know, like, but you have players in the back that can hit those players making those diagonal runs. It's a little bit more, like you said, variety.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, pals, the last thing I wanted to say, because we didn't really get to it, but there was an NSL / Ottawa Rapid flavor to the Canada versus Korea Republic. There was DB Pridham. There was Melissa Dagené, Chu, Jung. I think I'm saying your name right. Jung, who plays for new signing for Ottawa Rapid, plus Chirim and Hunter there representing NSL as well. So very exciting. And on that note, we will be back early next week with our NSL preview for the sophomore season and a special guest on a separate drop. So all kinds of gifts for you, broadcast fans. An interview with inaugural season champ with the Vancouver Rise, Jess DiFilippo. So that is next week. Thank you for broadening your horizons with us, as always. Thanks, Sigs. Thanks, Shireen. And let me see what I have to read. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary, as we always do here on the Broads. Cheers, everybody, for watching and listening.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Farewell. I'll be the same.